In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Only the living have Christ as Lord. Only the living are restored to his image and likeness, back to that perfection that God himself created man to be. Only the living rejoice to be in Christ's presence, and to see Christ. So Abraham is alive. This very moment, right now, Abraham lives, so do Isaac and Jacob, and so does your departed loved one who has died in the faith. They live. Right now, this very moment, they live. For God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And they have been united to Christ in holy baptism. He is their resurrection. He is their life. Death has no hold on them. For baptism is life eternal. That very instant. It's not some future life way off in the distance. It's right now, right in that instant. Baptism gives life. But until the day where your eyes close, you live in a veiled world and you do not see that life. You don't see Christ with your own two eyes. You don't see life. But honestly, you see only death. We live in a veiled world. Nevertheless, there is life. For the moment that your eyes close is the very moment that they open in heaven. For God is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. Foolishness to natural man, though. Foolishness to our reason. We've all seen a cemetery. We've all seen people being lowered down into it from every walk of life, race, even every religion. Christians are no different. They too die, they too are buried. They too return back to dust. Fallen man scoffs at God. How silly to say the dead are not dead. It's irrational to natural man. And then Jesus pointed to his very own words as life-giving. The Jews mocked Jesus for saying that Abraham lives because of his words. He's not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? They forget that he is the eternal God. The eternal God who spoke to Abraham. So in their mind, Abraham is dead, and so are the prophets. Yes, they did confess a future resurrection, but that's way off in the distance. Right in that moment, they are dead. That makes more sense to us. That makes more sense to us as well. How can someone be both dead and alive? How can they be buried in a ground we saw it with our own two eyes and yet be living? But I ask you, how can Moses appear on that mountain of transfiguration with his body if he were dead? God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Reason is a tremendous gift from God. Our logic is a wonderful tool, but it must remain subjected to the Word of God. This is not easy since we have a sinful flesh, and that sinful flesh does not belong to God, but it belongs to the devil. It never reforms, never gets any better, never seeks to please God. But it remains hard and stubborn throughout all its days. That's what lives inside of you and me. And you see that also in the Jews dealing with Jesus. The flesh cares very little for the word of God. Oh, it may listen out of intrigue. It may try to find some helpful piece of information to help it in its daily life. But how can someone without faith understand the words of God? How can they understand the word if they do not have faith subjected to God and his word? And now, dear Christian, the moment of this life on earth, your life right now, is the time for faith. Abraham believed. He had faith. And the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. The Lord God spoke to him through Isaac. All nations will be blessed. The Savior will come through Isaac. Abraham rejoiced at hearing that. He believed. Now go sacrifice your son Isaac. Natural reason must conclude that God has changed his mind. Isaac is no longer the son of the promise, but faith-driven reason concludes that God must raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham confesses, "We will go up and worship, and we will come back to you." When reason is subjected to the word of God, it controls everything about that person. God has captivated you as well. You do not belong to the devil, but you belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the mind of God, the heart of God, the will of God. What God desires, you seek to carry out, for you also desire to live a holy and godly life, which is just simply to say, you live by faith in this world. So do not undertake any task, great or small, apart from faith. Let faith drive you in all things, for the word of God drives faith to good and godly actions each and every time. But how can you live by faith if you do not know what the word of God says? How do you know whether to get married or to be single if you do not know what God says to the married? How do you know how to raise children if you do not know what God says to parents? How do you know how to make a good and right decision if you do not know what God's will is for you? When reason steps outside of the word of God, it may make a right choice. In fact, very often does. But it is not driven by faith. The motives are wrong. For making the right choice for the wrong reason is not living by faith. And so it does not please God. How can we live by faith if we do not hear the words of God? So hear the word of God. He speaks the truth. He himself opens up his very own heart to you to reveal what his will is for your life. And this very day he says, "I am not the God of the dead, but of the living." So Abraham is alive. Isaac too, so is Jacob. Your departed loved one is alive with Christ this very day, or else Christ himself is a liar when he says, "If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." We know that Jesus himself is not a liar. He speaks only the truth, for he is the eternal begotten Son of God, God from God, light from light, as we confess. And yet in time the Son of God became the Son of Man, sent by the Father himself to give his life as a ransom for us sinners. To give his life for us so that we might have life and have it to the full. He is your substitute as he hangs on that cross paying for the world's sins. And yes, he is still your substitute as he is laid down in that grave to sleep. He bore your sins as he was laid in that grave. And yet on the third day as he rose up, he left those garments of sin back in the grave. They have no hold on him, and so they can have no hold on you either. You have been united to Christ in holy baptism, raised to a new and glorious life. Death is not your end, but life. Death is not your fate. For you belong to God, and he is the God of the living, now and forever. Those who have died with Christ are not in a cemetery, but they are with Christ in heaven. And since heaven comes to you in this divine service, then they also are present here with us this day, as you yourselves confess, therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. They gather around the throne of God to endlessly worship and praise him. They are on the other side of the altar, seeing things which we see only by faith. And yet they are one with us, our brothers and sisters, washed into the holy Christian church, even as you and I are washed. They are not dead, but they are alive with Christ. Natural man goes to a cemetery to find them. Faith-driven reason goes to the divine service to meet Christ and to meet their loved ones once more. For God himself is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. They live forever because of Christ. While on this earth they lived by faith, now they live by sight. The veil has been removed and they see things that we only know by faith. They rejoice to behold their God with their own two eyes. They have fought the good fight. They have finished the race. Now they enjoy the blessings that God gives to those who believe. We, however, remain on this side of the altar. We live by faith right now. We have all the promises of God, and he is not one to lie to us. Yet we don't see it with our eyes. We live by faith in that promise. We live by faith as we live in our daily lives. Hearing the word of God gladdens our heart. We desire to live according to those commands, for they are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey. And when we find ourselves stepping outside of those commands, we do not stubbornly take a stand as if we are always right. We admit our faults, our failures, and then we plead to God for his mercy. And in Christ, God is always merciful. He forgives for the sake of his Son. Still you struggle against the flesh. Still you live by faith. Still you battle this world. But only for a time. For faith recognizes that the victory is already won and the victory has already been given to you. What a wonderful thing this faith is. It controls everything about us, from our thoughts even to our reason. And what a wonderful gift reason is as well. By itself, it denies the word of God and views Abraham as dead, but subjected to the word of God and driven by faith, it is a wonderful tool as we live in our daily lives, as we live to God's glory. Godly reason lets God be God and does not try to subject him to our judgment. Godly reason believes the unbelievable, for God himself cannot lie. Godly reason views death as simply a minor inconvenience. It cannot have us. That little thing at the end of our life, that minor annoyance that all people are headed for, that inconvenient 6-foot plot of earth, nothing but an entryway into heaven. For we have been baptized with Christ, therefore we live with Christ. Right now we live, and nothing, not even death, can separate us from that love of God. For God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And even as your body rests in the grave, you still are alive. How? Because God himself said, "Anyone who keeps my words will never see death." Why? Why will we live? Well, that is very simple. Because Christ died in our place, was laid in our tomb. And when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.